Okay.
Call the meeting to order. Kelly, if you'd lead us in a pledge of allegiance, please.
Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we start with anything, if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself and...
My name is Ian, and I work for Invenergy, and if you're not familiar with Invenergy, we're a newish renewable energy company here in town. We had some contracts in place for quite a while, but now we're kind of full steam ahead with wind turbines and solar power. I actually grew up in the area. I grew up in Churubusco, New York. Left the area, taught chemistry at Norwich University for a few years, and now I'm back. I never thought I'd be in renewable energy. I came to all these board meetings, but here I am, living the dream. If you have any questions, concerns, please let me know. I can take any questions you have. Like I said, I'm still kind of new, so I don't know anything yet, but I can find out. So, thank you.
Thank you. Is there anything else that you wanted to... you were talking something about a resolution?
Host community agreement. Yeah, so you should have got that. And at some point, I assume the community will be able to read it. It's gone through the Clinton Energy Board, which I think you have representation on as well.
Right.
And they're happy with it. There's been a few iterations. Altona passed it last night. I think it looks, being as I'm part of the community, I tend to take a double-sided stance because I'm invested in our community as well, right? I don't just work for Invenergy. I was a farmer here long before Invenergy ever came. So I think it looks really good. I think it's really beneficial for all four towns. And once that's passed, I think we can do well.
Yeah, we'll probably have to do that next month. I haven't even seen the document yet.
Oh, you haven't? Okay.
No, not at all.
I'll make sure that you guys get a copy if you haven't seen it yet. You should have. I'll make sure.
Yeah, if we did here.
It's quite an extensive document, so, yeah, so it'll take it till next month, probably.
Yeah, probably to go through it, sure.
And I'll just get your contact information after, if that works. Yeah.
Do you know what the revised total of windmills is that the town of Morris is going to be getting now?
I don't know how many Moores is getting. Right now, I think we have contracted 120 wind turbines total for the project. I'm not sure how many Moores is getting. But there's also solar, but I don't think Moores is getting any solar right now. But maybe I could be wrong.
So that would be combined solar on the wind turbine itself?
It's not on the turbine. They're separate projects, technically, all under the same umbrella. And the energy goes kind of to the same destination, but it's they are technically two separate projects, which is kind of strange.
Are they putting the solar panels on the same property as the windmills, or is that going to be a whole different?
I would go by landowner, not property. So some landowners have multiple properties, and some of their properties might get solar, and some of their properties might get wind turbines.
Okay.
So.
Good.
Do you have a tenant in that layout yet?
We do, and you know where Phil's Chevrolet is?
Yes.
So we are renting the old Phil's Chevrolet building in the very front. Probably by the end of the week, I have all the maps up, but our floor's currently been redone. There's all those old Chevy signs still there, so we replaced all that. That should be done by the end of the week. So probably on Friday, you should be able to come over and take a look at those if you'd like. I'll be at the office most of the day. Feel free to stop by anytime.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
We'll skip highway for now because Chris is probably going to be here a little bit later. Nobody from library. I talked to Art earlier. I guess there were no changes from last month with the grants and things. So didn't get any report from dog control. So I guess that comes down to beautification.
Thank you. Last month at February's meeting, I was happy to report that we were going to be moving forward with the Veterans Memorial Park project. At the cemetery property at the corner of State Route 11 and Mill Street. However, we have to put the project on hold because we found out that the land, that parcel of land, does not belong to the town. So we we can't move forward with purchasing the pavers or the bricks until we can find out what can be done or how that will be handled and be resolved. It's a bump in the road, but the project will still get going. We still want to work towards our plans and have everything ready to go so that when everything is resolved, we can move forward with it.
Yeah, I'm keeping my fingers crossed. It's just some glitch in the process of turning over or processing the deeds when we took ownership of the association. So,
because the committee has put a lot of work into getting quotes, and I think I mentioned at last meeting that we had a company that has great bricks, great paper bricks. They were going to give them to us for a phenomenal price, and it's sad that we're potentially going to lose them because of so many unknowns at this point in time.
Yeah.
But we're going to reach out to them and see if they'll be willing to work with us till we can get some more information. You know, hopefully next month, by next month's meeting, we'll have some more information and can be able to pass that on to them. And you know, if unfortunately we can't move forward quickly, then we may end up losing those bricks, and we'll just have to go back out for other quotes and look for other options.
Hopefully, we can get it taken care of. Thank you for all your work.
Oh, thank you.
Greatly appreciated. Let me see, nobody from youth, historian, the assessor, I saw him earlier today, he said there's nothing new to report there either. Fire department, God's report. Let me see what we have here. 16 total calls for February, 8 in the town, 8 mutual aid. Total calls since the first of the year, 23. Submitted by Todd Gumlar, Fire Chief. Thank you, Todd. Anything else, Todd?
I just wanted to, I was just talking with Jason about it. I want to bring to the town's attention. Down the road, I would like to see the next Fire Chief or myself at this time and Jason get together being a code enforcement officer. We need to do something with these rental apartments in town. These guys are renting them out. The last fire that we had in town in the apartment, there was one smoke detector in the building, both upstairs and downstairs. No batteries in that smoke detector. There was two occupants that were living upstairs. Right now, the three individuals that stopped to bang on the door and get them out, they're going up for life-saving awards for Woodsmen of the World for doing that. Because if they hadn't stopped, they wouldn't have been able to get out. You could actually see, when you went upstairs into the bedroom, you could see the outline of where they were laying in bed from the smoke and the heat. Yes, I understand the tenants to, you know, put batteries in, but that they should be supplied. That should already be in the apartment.
It should be the landowner's responsibility, in other words.
Right, that should be the property owner's responsibility. I feel that there's more apartments here in town that are identical to that, and I fear that one time it's not going to be a good situation. I'm just trying to look out for the people that are coming into the community. Anyway, I know people that have the apartments want to get them rented, you know, want to have somebody in it, but it could have been a lot worse, especially with one way out of that. That apartment, and the fire was right below that exit point. Also, April 1st, Saturday, guys, come on down. We're having our annual Easter raffle here at the firehouse. All kinds of prizes. Have a good time. We haven't done it since COVID came to town. And it's time to get out and have a good time. Blow off some steam.
Right. And catch some good April Fool's pranks.
Yeah, might be one or two. Might win a bag of black jelly beans. You did get those, Mark, didn't you? Oh, yeah. Okay. Everybody loves black jelly beans. So. But other than that, we're pushing along. We're still waiting for more information on our new truck that's coming. They keep pushing that date back. But we'll survive. We're starting to get some newer members, which is good, some younger members. I believe I have 6 that are signed up to take this BFOL class coming up. state course to become interior firemen, so we're in pretty good shape right now.
Good to hear. Thank you, Todd.
Let me see, next on the list, EMS, I got no report there. The court report, let's see, that's right in front of me here. The month of February, the total was $4,115 taken in. The state got $2,383, the county got $1,000, and we got $732. Oh well. Code enforcement.
Well, not super busy time of the year, but we get a Verizon got a permit for the adding equipment to their tower on the Alice Road. And that was $2,000, and there's one building permit for $150 going on Romat Lane off North Star Road.
Oh, really? Another house going up there?
Another house going up down there. But and like Todd was saying, I was thinking that for a while too. The apartment thing, well, Department of State actually they brought up a thing. It's not mandatory, but they say for rentals and stuff like that, it'd be a good idea to impose something like a 1 year, or not 1 year, but every time the rental changes hands. They have to let us know, and we go and inspect before the new person comes in, you know, to make sure the fire extinguisher is not dangling from a cord hanging off the thing, and you know, it's safe, stuff like that. So that's probably something that, you know, we should implement, especially, you know, for just for safety.
Right, right.
The city of Plattsburgh has that.
Yeah.
So just research them. They pass the.
Yeah. Don't they do it? I think they do it yearly, though. I think they do it yearly.
I do too.
They do a yearly inspection of all apartments.
Yeah. You can do it however, yeah.
I mean, the smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors that you purchase in the store today, yes, they're very expensive. You know, they're $60, if not more. But they have a 10-year life expectancy.
Yeah, the new one, they have the 10-year battery in it that you can't just pop out.
Right.
You know?
So once they're done, they're done.
The 10-year battery lasts about 3 years if you're lucky.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. But I'm just saying, you know, I mean, we got to do something.
One person's life is worth that. Mm-hmm.
Is that something you can look into for next month? Or?
Well, sure.
Yeah. I'll get with you.
I believe Plattsburgh laws, it has to be X number of apartments or more. Not just like not a single family house or two apartments.
But we don't have nine people or nine family apartments, so two families.
I'm saying there's based on numbers, it's not just based on revenue.
And it won't be like a revenue chaser kind of thing. We don't have to charge the landlords, you know, a bunch of money a year, just you know, the ability to get in.
Kind of a friendly reminder of keeping batteries and keeping smoke alarms and carbon monoxide detectors up to snuff.
Yeah. And also like plumbing alarm and stuff like that too.
Technically it is a state law already. It should not follow.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a state law for the owner to provide those.
Yeah.
But it is not a state law that the owner supplies batteries
every year.
Right.
Which I firmly do not believe. I mean, every 6 months our tenants are messaged and say, check your batteries, whatever you need, let us know. But in turn, it's not a law that the owner has to supply them with batteries.
Right, it's like same thing, it's not state mandated that we have to go in and check on the landlords, make sure they're doing a good job, but it's recommended.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can't, as a town, we can put that into our laws.
It's responsible for somebody else's life.
Yeah, exactly. You
can need a horse water, as they say.
I know I don't live in Morris, but this might be a good time for an educational campaign. The Red Cross does.
Charlie Busco!
Has a home fire campaign the Red Cross does. And they will actually supply detectors for free, so that might be something you guys can look into for.
We've done that before.
Yeah, we've done it with them before, and it was.
The only thing is, the firemen had to put it in.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the, is it the health department, the Healthy Neighborhoods?
Yeah, they do something similar to that, too.
So might be some options there to help out, you know?
Yeah, I can talk to Greg Spinner and see, Red Cross, if we can get some fire extinguishers and carbon monoxide detectors from them or whatever. The fire department did receive a generous donation, that allowed us to buy $1,500 worth of smoke detectors, carbon monoxide detectors, and fire extinguishers. We would like to see them go to elderly, needy, once we really need them. So if anybody knows of an elderly individual in town that doesn't have smoke detectors or anything like that, feel free to reach out to me, and we can get them hooked up with something.
Thanks. Back on codes, Jason, one other thing that I think we need to discuss, and we should have done this at the organizational meeting earlier this year.
I'll be better with the beard, by the way.
Thank you. Tell the one in the back corner over there, please.
Happy bicycle.
We need to set a dollar amount for routine maintenance and improvements that aren't covered, you know, that wouldn't require a permit.
That came up recently, too.
Yeah, so we're going to need to, I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
I mean, people are going to lie in here. But it's kind of just a, let me in there to make sure they're doing it
right. Right, yeah.
There's one, especially not far over across the road from here. Their electrical stuff was kind of, you know, the little thing or whatever, so I just let them know, and that's all it was. It wasn't about getting extra money from them or anything like that. It was just.
But I think I'd like to get. What are we at? We're like at around 5,000 right now or something?
I thought it was.
Or is it? Are we
500 or something crazy like that? But I mean, it should be higher. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if the board would indulge, I'd like to get that out of the way tonight as well. Setting that number.
You're exempt from a permit for certain things. It's like, you know, you change your flooring, doing this and that. But when it gets up to a certain amount, then you have to because it's significant. But it's mostly about structural.
Structural stuff, yeah. Like roof, like, you know, doing a roof, replacing a window. Something like that.
I don't agree with the roofing thing myself personally.
Well, that's maintenance. You have to keep, if you don't keep your roof up, the rest of the house is worthless.
Yeah, so. But on the other hand, you can't put a tin roof on top of a
shingle roof.
Shingle roof that has two layers of shingles on it. You know what I mean? You can't do that.
Well, so. Yes, you can. You just.
Well, you
who
can.
Says you can't do that?
Well, anyway,
you're not supposed
it's
to.
Just to kind of get, I mean, they take a peek and
yep.
Let them look. Not being nosy.
You have an idea?
I have an idea. What would the code enforcement officer's recommendation be for the dollar amount?
Dollar amount?
Yeah, what would?
It's got to at least be 5,000. I mean, because 5,000 is going to buy windows pretty much for you, anyway.
Right.
I mean, but if it's just a little thing here and there, I don't know. I don't even get to figure that out.
We want the code enforcement officer's recommendation. You deal with this every day. What is your recommendation?
My recommendation would be, what do you bet? What do you bet?
No, I would say 5,000 myself, because if you're looking at any home improvement,
what do you mean? 5,000 it is.
And I would agree with 5,000, honestly. That was where my mind was, so.
Yeah.
So I would make a motion that we make the dollar amount 5,000 that is required to get a building permit for any modifications. Is that the wording we want?
And I think any improvements above $5,000 would require a permit. Anything up to, how do we want to word that?
Anything above $5,000 needs a permit. Any renovations above $5,000 needs a permit.
Yeah, I think that would, that's because we needed to get that reset. And
that would be major enough to, you know, figure.
Yeah. We'll get a second on that?
Wait, what was the first?
I was.
Gary made a motion.
And the second?
All second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
$5,000 it is.
No, no, that's the first time it's been set since I've been here.
There you go.
Yeah, good. It's good enough.
Anything else, Jason?
Does that mean if you build a shed that's less than $5,000 or over 10 by 10, you don't need a permit?
That's changing too.
That's changing too.
Currently, anything that's over 100 square feet needs a permit.
Right.
Right now.
Regardless of price.
Right.
Right now.
Does it say regardless
of price? It doesn't matter if it's an Amish shed.
If it's a structure, right.
Blah, 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 right. Kind of thing. If it's that size, it meets that size of requirement. Yeah. Anything can be moved in. You know, we're changing that to 144, right?
144 square feet. That's
what the state standard is, and that's what we just more just kind of got a little stricter for some reason. I don't know back way back when, but they went to
100 instead of 144. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going back to what everyone else does.
Jason, how are we coming on the Garrett Road in Atlanta?
Jesus Christ, Jim. I thought you were about to do that.
They won't, I will.
No, as far as I know, well, she's got her court date, I think it's this Thursday. Is her, she had till this Thursday, the judge gave her till this Thursday to clean up her act, or yard, I guess, and she has it. I went by a couple days ago, she hadn't done anything.
Nothing. But
and
nothing.
So I sent that letter a while ago to the board, saying that no matter what the, you know, I'll give her the, whatever the judge says, because he was the new judge on the case, Judge Phillips. Whatever he decides, you know, he can do whatever, which he said, you got till March 18th, 16th, whatever it was. And I said, well, if she doesn't go by then we're taking her out of court, we're just, you know, never mind the court, we're just gonna take it upon ourselves, or I'm gonna get some quotes, and we're gonna just show up one day and just start taking the crap off her yard.
And
her
tax bill.
I know. I know her neighbor has been in to see me a couple of times.
He's upset. Well, he's when her
tends
garage things blew over in his trailer.
Slammed into his cargo trailer. Yep.
Yeah. So yeah. Well, it's been going on long enough. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been way too long.
I have a question. What about the place over here that has
with the garbage?
Garbage, right?
Yes. They got sent a letter. I mailed it out. A week ago, I think. Yeah, because a guy who lives there actually came and turned them in. There's like three different families living in that house. And he said, well, you know, you see the garbage pile inside the garage, but the garage itself was filled with garbage. And then apparently Doc Evans had rats coming in his house, and it probably come from there. I drove by there and I saw cats sitting on the garbage bags, like waiting for a rat to run on that, you know, so good. Eat it.
Oh, wonderful.
The first place when you turn in for a road?
The steel wrapping is all tough. The steel wrapping is all tough.
And, well, apparently, in there's like alleged all kinds of other stuff going on there, child abuse and this and that. And the guy downstairs had enough of it. He came over and he was telling me about it. So they're in the works. I didn't give them a long lead time. Usually, I give everyone 30 days to do whatever their thing, but right. I give them 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's
like I said, you got 2 weeks to clean it up or you're going to court.
There's a big pile on the outside and it's piled inside as well.
Yes.
Oh boy.
But also, he's defaulting with the bank, one of those things, and so he doesn't care. But I don't know. All we can do is. We'll send him to court and see what that can go from there.
While we're talking about this stuff, I got one more for you. Just up the road from the one on Garen Road is a junkyard that started.
On the same side of the road?
Yes.
Like two, 3 places ago?
Yep.
Yep. They have, that's Amy Buskey and her husband. I've already gave them a letter. I sent them a letter and they got a hold of me. It was a warning letter. And you give me a call within 2 weeks or else, blah, blah, blah. So she got a hold of me, and of course it was the same thing your husband had. He said 3 heart attacks or whatever, and can't do this, can't do that. I said, it's all right. I said, you gotta do one of 2 things. I said, either turn that into a vehicle repair shop, salvage yard, something like that, or you gotta get the stuff out of there.
Probably need a special use permit to do that.
Yeah, well, they started off far, right? I mean, because I talked to them, I think it was like a year ago, when Earl had told me about it. And they moved everything to the back of their lot, like way in the back. That's neat, or it's not offensive to anybody, but then it just started crumbling around in the middle.
But yeah, but I think...
She's also related to 16-year-old.
Oh, boy.
That's her aunt. So it kind of...
Runs in the family.
Yeah, and apparently a lot of the vehicles were from there. She said, and so yeah.
But I think, I mean... You need, in order to have that many vehicles, you need to have a salvage license or something, it, yeah. Just by law.
Yeah.
So they're not in compliance no matter what.
So New York State says you can have one unregistered vehicle in your yard. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. That's why I have 15 registered vehicles in my yard.
A lot more to go get.
All right, I guess we've. Guess that's it. We can finish badgering you, I guess. That's it.
What about 22?
Oh, Gabe, we forgot about Route 22.
The Burton.
Lisa Montemar.
I don't know anything about that. She's supposed to be going to the court same day as
the other one?
16-year.
Yeah, they're represented by the same attorney.
Yeah.
So it's just...
Is in the court case. Then when, I guess we've... Everyone's had enough, then it'll come back to me and do something else.
Okay.
But I know she's had a bunch of people like want to buy it or whatever, so maybe she's sitting on it like that, thinking. Oh.
She said she doesn't want to sell it.
Right. Well, because about 10 people have said, hey, you want to sell it? So she's probably thinking, I can get a little bit more. But.
Oh, well.
But she's got to, the same thing, I mean, whatever the judge says. I mean, right now, I guess he's going to be imposing a fine. I don't know exactly what it is, but I heard it was like $25 a day, something like that, until she gets it done.
We need some meaner judges.
Yeah.
We need some meaner judges.
Yeah, well, Earl was fining the one on 16 Garen Road $250 a day. So she racked up to $47,000, which, of course, she's never going to pay. You know, so that's a different thing. But this one, yeah, she should... sell it, or unless she wants to live there and then something, but she's got to tear the house down.
That's a total loss.
Do whatever she can, but I gotta wait till the court finishes their thing before I step back.
All right, well, thanks for your report.
You're welcome.
Moving on, our next looking at cemeteries.
It's doing for it.
Yeah, I know. Well, I got a letter from her. And
postponed Gibbs operation.
What's that?
They postponed Gibbs operation.
Oh, they did.
So they won't be back for the 23rd.
She sent me. And everybody's got a copy of her letter regarding what we talked about the Riverside, and she's talking about the Union Cemetery doing some work up there at some point. So she's gonna. Actually, she talked with Mark Culligan, which her and I discussed that a little bit. I thought Mark might be somebody that seems he used to work on those cemeteries years ago. So apparently, she did get a hold of him. I don't know what he can do, but he's got a little bit of insight on to some of the goings on there. So, anything else on cemeteries?
Yeah. So. Just to go off the old business with the Union Cemetery last meeting, where Vicki said that if the cemetery is not used for cemetery purposes only, it goes back to the heir. So I went out and reached out and got a copy of the deed. So there is, Vicki was right, or correct, not right. She was correct by stating that the above described premises are to be used for cemetery purposes only. If the second party, which is the town of Moores that now currently owns it, does not use it for a cemetery only, it is to go back to the heirs of William T. Soden. So he's the original person that owned the cemetery, the Union Cemetery, William T. Soden. So with that being said, because we want to use, I think it's a good idea to turn the unused portion of the Union Cemetery into a sand pit, because it joins our sand pit that we currently have. So I ran did a value of the property. So there's 6.3 acres of unused cemetery right now where there's nothing on it. It's to the west of the Big Hill Road, all those trees. So there is 319,000 cubic yards of sand in that area because it's 32 feet deep by 279 by 965. So that gives the value of that sand in that property of just over $2.5 million. And at the current use, right now we use 7,800 yards of sand per year for the roads. So that gives us 41 years of sand, potential sand to use. And unfortunately, the deed does not allow us to use that. Because once we remove the sand, we would just make it back into a cemetery where they could be able to reuse it. So I did some more research about it, and we can do a what's called a quick claim deed. And that what that does is we need to go back and find the first living heir of William Soder, which is, you know, we have a town historian on payroll.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they should be able to go back and find a living heir. So if we can find that, whoever the first living heir of William Soden, have a conversation with them, see if they will sign a quick claim deed, eliminating these two prongs on the original deed, you know, stating that once we use the sand or use a portion of it, it'll go back to a cemetery. So that's where we're at with that. It's just, there's a lot of money.
How does a pit go back to a cemetery though?
So once you reclaim, so if we take it down 32 feet, you're still below that. The sand is still another 30 feet down. Okay, so instead of
that, tested.
Yes, we've already done a deep hole test on it.
Okay.
So we just remove the sand and then landscape it all, and it'll just be at a lower level. Instead of up here, it'll just be down here. And it's still the same level property.
John, wouldn't you end up having a cemetery in a pit, a water pit?
No, because the water table is below that. The 32 feet gets us above the drainage of it. Yeah,
but if you get the snow and you get a lot of rain in there?
Yeah, it would still drain off.
You could end up with a swimming pool.
No. The current pit is now, that's the level of it. The current pit is now a swimming pool. It all drains down into a ditch which drains away from the property. That's all we're asking for to do. Even if we don't bring it down to 32 feet, even if we just bring it down to 25 feet, the amount of product that is there, the town only has a year left of its current sand pit before we run out of sand. We're going to have to look at least another piece of property if we don't do this. What is that other piece of property going to cost us? Tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars to buy.
If put this way, wouldn't they? First of all, you got to get a lawyer. Second of all, they got quite a few heirs. In fact, that goes all the way down Lamberton. He's one of the heirs.
Right. That's why I said we need to find the first one, the most. So if it's the third cousin, second cousin, whoever is the first one alive, that's the eldest heir, that's who we need to go to. According to the deed, how it reads, it goes down to his heirs, then assignees, then devices or legal representatives. So if we file this, if we follow this chain of, I call it chain of command, but if we follow the lineage, if we find the first person that is an heir to William Soden, who is the elder, he's the one that makes the decisions. Not everybody, it's his decision to make.
I've heard people talk, you know, someone wants to sell the land, going is they have to have every living heir has to sign off. So you better check in on that.
So that's not my interpretation of it, but obviously it would go to, you know, council?
Definitely the lawyer would have to, you know, make the, right, proceed with this before, you know, we wouldn't be doing any of the legwork on it.
Exactly.
It would be through a lawyer's hands.
But if we find
decided to move forward with it, yeah, I think that might be an avenue. My thought was that, like, I think we discussed too, we could move the road. And actually, even if you doubled the size of that cemetery, you'd have more than enough cemetery property, and then there would be plenty left for...
The last time a cemetery plot was sold in the town of Morris was 2001. So we're not breaking down the doors to buy cemetery plots. What we are breaking down the doors is using 7,800 yards of sand a year at $8 a yard if we have to buy it.
Has there been any, like, just in case this doesn't work out, like going around looking for some land to buy some sand? Because in case plan A doesn't work out, I mean, you gotta fall back on something.
One other thought, too. I'm just wondering if there's any other municipalities, and I think I'll start researching that a little bit, that maybe had the same, to go through the same thing. Because there have been a lot of municipalities that got cemeteries,
you know, put in their lap. Own a pit, like across from our pit?
Across
the road?
Yeah.
Shazy
does.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if other towns are coming here and buying up land for their sand, you know, we should either be hanging on to our own sand or going out, or something, I don't know.
Yeah, we don't give our sand away.
Huh? Yeah.
We don't give our sand away.
I know. Yeah.
No, we charge the county and save for it.
Yep.
They got to go in there and revamp everything.
Yeah, it was when these deeds were signed over in 2015, if we would have removed those, but that's water underneath the bridge.
Yeah.
But that's just that. It's unfortunate. There's a lot of value there.
We'll have to see. I'm going to see if I can find anything on any precedent of other municipalities, because I'm sure other municipalities probably ran across the same issue with that.
What do you figure, John, that it would cost to buy the land?
So it doesn't buy the town of Moores owns the land term.
Okay.
But there's a use issue.
Right.
That's what
it. Yeah.
Yeah, this is all town of Moores property that we're
talking about. If the lawyer comes through and says that you have to every year to sign off, they're going to be moving in a year's time, I tell. If they can go legally, they can go take just that first one.
Right. But that's why I said, if we can get the task the historian to find the heirs, I don't know if Vicky already has done that or not.
I'm not sure.
If we can find the eldest heir living, and have a conversation.
Have you checked Lee's son?
Excuse me?
Lee's son?
I haven't done any research versus other than knowing.
Lee may be related, but I don't have.
Right. He's older. Too,
yeah.
So
yeah.
Like,
what do you mean he's older?
Well, he's a little younger than you, but.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, we could check with Lee just to see if he kicks. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a little older.
Yeah. Yeah.
He keeps himself, whatever it is, so maybe he just doesn't know about whatever.
Yeah. Good idea, good point.
Yeah, because this was back in 1903.
What else was, I mean, I know the town owns that land, technically, but I mean...
Not technically,
that,
it does.
Well, okay, the guy that gave you the land, he gave it to you and said, gave it to the town and said, but I want it used for a cemetery.
Cemetery use only.
It seems like we're trying to circle a way around that thing.
So, how it went down in 2015, the town...
Well, I mean, your parents died and gave something, said, I want this to be wooded forever, and you're like, well, but we can cut down all the trees and just plant some more. You know what I mean? That person would be rolling in their grave. I mean, maybe the guy who intentionally gave it for that purpose wouldn't want it sunk down 30 feet. Me. I'm not saying I'm against the whole idea.
The whole thing, and I'm just going to be point blank with it, the town was forced to take it over in 2015. The town did not have an option. Mm-hmm. It was a state law. You had to take over the cemeteries. So I'm trying to make the best out of a bad situation to save the town some money instead of having to go out and buy more property where we already have. We were forced to take this property over. Not by owner accord, we were forced to. And we're also forced to maintain these properties. We have zero revenue coming in from these properties. And that's why we have a cemetery committee that is trying to put the bylaws together so we can start selling plots. Because currently, right now, I believe we only have like $35,000 between the Riverside and Union cemeteries for maintenance purposes. Last time I checked, the mowing machine is $20,000. One goes down. You know, sooner or later, it's going to come to where it comes out of taxpayers' pockets.
Right. We're not gonna be making enough revenue off the cemeteries to sustain themselves. That's the problem.
So
this will be one good way to sustain that, I think. But like I said, I think we got to go through the legal avenues.
I got a sand pit on myself, so.
Yeah, you got one you want to sell, okay.
Well, it's better to be self-sustainable because Altona and Champlain this year both bought sand.
That's right.
Yeah.
So Altona bought all their sand from Beeman at $8 a yard. And that doesn't include trucking. Altona used its own trucks to go to Beeman's pit on the Emory Road and truck it. They paid a little over $70,000.
Champlain was hauling from Morrisonville.
So I think this is an avenue we definitely need to look into for sure. I mean, if we can make it work, we can make it work. If not, well, I mean, you don't know unless you try. Okay, moving on from that cemetery issue there. What do we have for, I guess that was kind of under old business to begin with. And what else do we, anything else on the old business that we wanted to discuss?
The sprinkler system?
Oh yeah, the sprinkler system up at the, did you get anything on that?
No, other than the schematics, I didn't know if we had a price on that yet.
No, I got nothing.
Okay.
Got not a thing on it. I didn't know if you had gotten.
No, I was kind of hoping to get a price on that, but I didn't. That was kind of Jeff's thing, so I didn't know if he passed that along to you.
I didn't pass it on to me at all, so. Any new business we want
to? If we can go back to the old business. So we had an issue with the Bashaw Road with some road construction where we had an incident and we had an insurance claim and it was found. If you want to take over, don't mean to go.
Yeah, well, it found the town was actually liable for the incident. We couldn't prove that we properly marked the construction site and somebody damaged. Well, they did, what,
$3,763.81 of damage to their vehicle.
Yeah. So what Gary and I did, we went up to the town garage a couple of weeks ago now, and we took an inventory of what we had for signage.
Construction signage.
Construction signage. And we had a little chat with some of the employees. We actually found the DOT handbook as to the regulations for setting up for a construction site.
Work zone traffic control manual.
Yep, there you go. And so we give them a little crash course in that. And hopefully we're gonna get them to start following that. Chris is supposed to give us a list of signs that we're gonna make sure we have. And we were very adamant that they are going to follow the procedures so that this doesn't happen again. And it's not, and we made the point that it's not just for the safety of people that are driving into the construction zone. It's for their own safety. Because, you know, if people don't know somebody's up there working, somebody could get hit, killed, maimed, who knows. So we're definitely something we are addressing. And like Gary said, we're being proactive on.
So the other thing that we did was we submitted the tobacco grant money for the $15,000 tobacco grant. Our submission totaled $527,080, so we're hopefully we can get $15,000 out of the account for tobacco.
What's tobacco
rating? So
free smokes for everybody?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's what caused it. So the tobacco grant is, there was a tobacco company settled with the federal government and ultimately with the state, where they set like a slush fund. So every year, the county, the state gives the county a certain amount of money, and the county divvies it up into $15,000 grants. So we can, the town of Morris has never submitted for a tobacco grant.
No.
So we submitted this year, and it included our sidewalks, and also all the projects going on with the beautification committee. That's where we get the total of the $527,000. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, with all that documentation that we submitted, that we are awarded the grant, because we have never put in for one, so we're hoping that we get that $15,000.
And if you get the grant, you can't submit again for another 3 years.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can get a little something. It may not pay for a lot, but it'll certainly help.
Right.
And the grant also included too the fence, a new fence for the cemetery along Mill Street, because that fence, my understanding is that it's been dilapidated and...
Yeah, well, we had to have, well, Chris, we had Chris take it down because it was just, there was nothing left of it. It was the tree, all the vines grew up into it. It was a total loss. So
there's a lot that can be done with.
Yes.
If we are granted, the town is granted.
And then the last thing, I don't know if you're, the town, we just received the notification, Chris did. We got the salt shed grant, $500,000
grant.
It's a matching grant. It's a matching grant. And I believe we have 3 years to use it. So.
Oh, that's good.
So a part of that grant, we can use our own.
We can use our own, yeah, we can use some, our own.
We can put a.
If we have an existing pad, we can use that toward the grant.
Yes.
Some manpower toward the grant.
Yes.
So. And no, there was something about the wheel loader too, right?
Yeah, for the, you talk about the new one?
The new loader, yeah, the, that's what we wanted to talk about. The, that would be new business probably, the,
Well, I was gonna
are you done with old business?
We can do it all under highway if you want.
Yeah, I don't know if Chris is gonna come. Okay. We haven't gotten the highway yet, so.
So we want to do highway now?
Yeah, why don't we skip the highway? It doesn't look like Chris is gonna make it, so.
So there was an incident this past snowstorm, that we're currently going through. And I'll actually, Chris couldn't make it tonight. He had a couple issues. We have a employee off, so he's covering that employee. And also on the state run that plows Route 11, Route 22, our truck had a flat tire in West JZ, so they're out taking care of that. So that's why Chris is not here tonight. So the last snowstorm, there was an incident with one of our plow drivers and the motoring public, or an individual, off of the Garen Road. The Garen Road, Route 11 intersection. So, just trying to think of the right word. So during that incident, it was said that our driver did not look. They came to a stop, did not look at the vehicle coming on a westbound direction and pulled out from him. Our drivers went and I think this is Chris right here, Bowman.
Me, yeah.
So anyways, our truck driver continued on with their route. This individual chased down our driver, pulled in front of our driver, and started yelling at our driver. This is unacceptable behavior. We talked to all our employees saying that this is actually we consider this a road rage incident. And that going forward, if this happens, just immediately call authorities and then call a supervisor.
Did I hear the driver climbed up on the side of the plow?
They did not.
Or not the driver, but the...
Yeah, the person, they did not.
No.
They just were yelling at them through their window.
Did they carry a little club and just...
No, they need to handle it professionally. Call authorities, call a supervisor, and we'll go handle it.
And you know, just to make a point, that intersection is a bad intersection, especially if you got a 20, you know, you're 20 feet from in front of your plow to where you're sitting in your seat, and you're edging out, there's a curve coming around. It's kind of a blind curve.
Yep.
Could the driver have pulled out and not seen the car? Absolutely. But, I mean, these things happen, and it's unacceptable that somebody, you know, berated the driver.
And since that event, Chris has reached out to the DOT, New York State DOT, to ask for snowplow turnaround signs to be put on each side of the, on Route 11. So that was that one. Our next one, we see the gentleman that lives over on Maple Street is asking about sidewalks being plowed over at Maple Street and Hemingford Road intersection.
Yeah, those are... I think the reason we don't do them is because they're just in disrepair.
Right. So they're in disrepair and they're too narrow for current equipment to go down.
Yeah.
So what we're thinking is this summer, spring, summer sometime, we're actually going to go pull them up and turn it back into lawn.
Mm-hmm.
Because their sidewalk doesn't go anywhere. It's just...
Right, yeah, it's only that short stretch. Right. It doesn't even go to Route 22, Hemingford Road. It stops probably about... 60 feet short.
Okay.
So.
We also have some sidewalks on East Street that should be torn up also.
Ones that go around the corner. Does he clean the ones on East Street?
Should.
I think he does all the way
down.
I think the neighbors are looking at it.
Oh, oh, yeah.
On the right side, down toward the end.
Yeah.
They should be tore up too.
So yeah, there's a lot of sidewalks in town that are kind of...
I'd just rather look at people's yards than have a liability with a sidewalk. While you're on the subject of plowing sidewalks, somebody needs to send a letter to the school because their plowers are blocking off the sidewalk going up Maple Street. They're completely buried it last time. The town guys couldn't get through there with their little plows, and it's still not accessible. And that sidewalk is used.
That sidewalk does get used.
I'll reach out. One of us can reach out to Matt Arno.
Yeah.
The school superior, the building's grounds.
I noticed them today. They were still filling it in.
Okay.
They've never done it before. I don't know why they're doing it all of a sudden.
Maple Street sidewalks must be haunted, because I have a story about that too. Up right across from the senior housing is, there's a few people that keep parking on the sidewalk, and I've told them,
mm-hmm.
You can't park on the sidewalk because people have to go around you or walk across the snowbank, and still doing it. So, but I'll take care of that.
And so just update
issues with tickets.
What's that?
We have to give you the power to issue tickets.
That's right.
So to update, so we've been keeping track throughout the year of the snowplow costs for the state contract and also the county contract. So just to update, February for the state, it cost the town $63,311 to plow the state run for the year, for the month of February. So that brings our yearly total to $167,541, and the state contract is $320,000. So we only use 52% so far of the contract.
So we're doing okay.
Now the county,
state.
From the state. On the county, February cost us $48,818 to plow. The county contract is only $219,000. But so far this year, we have spent $136,500. So we have used 62% of that contract. So it's good to be really close, in my opinion, for the county.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the data showing up to date, we're plowing the regular regular roads as often as we're plowing snow belt. And there's a huge difference between snow belt and regular. So we'll be able to, at the end of the year, at the end of the snow plow season, we'll have that data and we'll send it to Carl.
Send it to Carl and see if we can get paid more for this.
Exactly.
Once they took that aren't on snow belt that actually should be.
So the water treatment has been put out to bid. The winning bidder was Bullseye Construction at $9,300. There was three bids: Bullseye Construction, Supernaut Construction was $9,700, and Rennie's Repair was $18,500. Wow. Now all these bids were apples for apples. I made sure of all the equipment is exactly the same. So that went out to bid. The equipment was ordered and it's 6 to 8 weeks out. Now we have just ended our surplus auction. We listed 7 items on Auction International. It was up for a week. It ended last night at 8:30. And the items that we have that we put on auction were the 2 case wheeled excavators that we have. They're surplus equipment from our new one. Each one of those brought $4,300 and $5,500 respectively. We put on a dump truck that we do not use, it's surplus. It's amazing that it brought $6,500. We didn't even think it was gonna bring $1,500, and it brought $6,500.
That's darn good.
Sell it.
The dozer, it brought $14,000.
Really?
Yes. We were thinking $5,000. It needs a complete undercarriage. It does not run. It currently does not run. It needs a complete undercarriage and some cross beams, I believe Steve said, that are mechanic. So we also put on the deer loader, the JCB loader, and the old case loader that we had. So with the state contract for snowplow contract, we have to have 2 primary loaders. It's a state
requirement
with our contract. So with that being said, we asked that, Chris asked that the two wheeled excavators, dump truck and dozer, along with the case loader, which case, the old army loader, the case loader, that brought 9,600, which is okay. Phenomenal. Chris asked that those five items be sold as they're surplus and not needed.
I'll make a motion to really sell.
I'll second that motion.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So now we all
opposed? Nobody's opposed. Okay. Carry.
I'm excited. So we also put on the JCB loader and the deer loader that we have, the two primary loaders. The JCB loader got a bid of $30,900. Now, with all these auction items, we don't have to sell them. It's our choice whether or not we sell them. So the JCB loader only brought $30,900. So we're definitely going to decide to keep that one.
Yep.
Because it's not...
as a backup. It's not yeah, for that kind of money.
So with selling the case loader for $9,600, the JCB needs about $10,000 to fix it. It needs a new windshield to, because it has a crack in it, and OSHA will not allow it in the sand pit.
Right, with a...
Yeah, so it needs a new windshield, and also needs pins and bushings on the loader arms. So we figure that's about a $10,000 fix. So that's what that money's going to be used for the case. With selling the case loader is going to be to fix the JCB. Now, the deer loader brought a bid of $78,100.
Which is under what we
right.
wanted.
Yes. So we were thinking that the retail price on that was going to be between $125,000 and $150,000 that we thought we were going to get for it. With the market, we thought it was what we were told by other dealerships that what it should bring. But auction price is only $78,100. Now, last month, we had taken and gotten prices on loaders, new loaders. And I should say, before I go any further, the deer loader has two issues with it. It has a wiring harness issue, where when it gets wet, it shuts off prematurely. We tried to track it. I say we, I'm talking about our mechanic and mm-hmm. everybody. We can't find it other than buying new wire harness, and that's very expensive. I don't have the exact quote on it. Chris didn't have an exact quote on what a wire harness costs, but, and also the transmission is starting to go on it. It's starting to slip. Chris did price out the transmission. Transmission for that loader was $50,000. That loader is no longer under warranty. It's a 2017, 3,100 hours. So like I said, we went out and got prices for it. Deer is going to give us $110,000 for trade-in value on that. So if we take the $110,000 and the $30,000 that we received from the sale of the other four items, that drops the price that we would have to pay for the loader at $100,000 even for a new loader. What, 8 years of?
That's pretty cheap for a new loader.
Right. So, as I said before, we would use the ARPA money, the COVID money, and currently in COVID money, we have $229,926 to spend. But $9,000 of that is going to be used, the $9,900 is going to be used for the water treatment system.
Mm-hmm.
So that drops us down to $120.
$220, yeah.
If we use $100 of that.
That leaves us $120.
And that's where I was kind of hoping we'd have for the sprinkler or for the fire system.
Right, but we don't know what that is yet.
Right, so that leaves us $120,000 for the fire system.
And the other thing we could use that for, I think, if we didn't use it for the sprinkler system, but I think the sprinkler system is quite important.
It's not a sprinkler, it's just a fire detection system.
Okay.
It doesn't include sprinkler system. I just spoke.
Oh, okay, so it's just alarms and smoke detectors.
Yeah,
and
heat sensors. Smoke alarm, heat sensors.
Yeah, I saw
24/7 surveillance. Yeah, but it's not a sprinkler system. It's not a fire suppression system.
Okay.
Am I saying that right, Doc?
Yeah.
It's not a fire suppression system. It's just detection. Yeah.
Put a brand new alarm system in the whole building for everything. and even new key fobs for the doors for entry and to the firehouse.
Yeah, we have the, so it's the fire station number 2, Candace Corners, EMS building, town garage, here, I believe that's it. Because currently right here we have, currently now we have NCC.
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 And see, I know that we had gotten a number somewhere in the vicinity of around 70,000, but we hadn't included, I think, a couple of the buildings.
I don't think we included fire station number 2.
Number 2.
Or EMS.
Well, I think, I don't know, it was either the EMS or the library, one or the other.
Oh, that's right, the library's in there.
One of them we didn't include, there were 2 of them we didn't, I can't remember which one.
But if we were at 70, I think another 50 would.
We were guessing, you know, 100 or so thousand to do it, but we don't know that number yet, so we haven't got it. But without those 2, I think it was like near 70,000.
Right.
But my other thought was, if we didn't do the sprinklers, that's right. Fire detection system. Think you could use that toward that grant, matching grant for the salt shed. But then again, you know, you can only spray it so far.
It would be nice not to buy a loader, but I think it would do us, the town taxpayers, an injustice not to make this move now. Because of the known problems that we have with the current loader, we have to have 2 primaries.
Yep.
The new one it's a good price for what it is, it's not taxpayer money, it's not town taxpayer money.
Right, it's not indirect.
It gives us an 8-year warranty, and it showed where, you know, it was only 78,000. They're giving us $132,000 more.
Yep.
And if we order it, it's not gonna come in until July, August. We can always put the loader on
again
to see if it grabs more than 110. Yeah. Maybe put a minimum bid of 110, that way we're not wasting anybody's time. But that's where we're at with that. And I feel strongly about this, that it sets us on a solid footing going forward. So with that, I would like to make a
motion. How long is that price going to be good for us? Do you have any idea on that?
And this price on the Deer loaders could be good till October. They cut off orders October for the next year. And, you know, the Deer is the best price versus, because we price them all.
Yeah.
Deer, Case, JCB, Volvo, Cat. Again, dollar for dollar, apples for apples, the Deer came out at the best price. Not by much, by like $3,000, but they're still cheapest.
Yeah, they did well with us on the other piece of equipment too.
Yeah, we got a $30,000 upgrade for free.
Yeah, exactly. So
it was their mistake, but it was still.
That was Christmas for us for a change.
Yeah.
Do I get a motion to?
So I'll make a motion to purchase a John Deere 624K2 loader, wheeled loader, at the bid price that they have. They supplied the town. And so the bid price was $132,867.
That's with the trade-in. With the trade-in.
Yeah. So actually, I'm going to correct that. So the bid price is going to be $130,867. Because if we go pick it up in Governor, they take $2,000 off.
Grand off.
And Chris said he'd go pick it up.
Yeah. So
if we take the $30,000 that we just made off of the 5 items, that drops the price down to 130.
Yep.
Was selling
down to 100,867. Yeah.
Yep. Or yeah, brings it down to 100. So.
Yeah, it might be 101,000. Yeah.
So that's my motion.
Great. Make a motion. We get a second. I'll make a second on it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Say aye.
Opposed?
This decision is not taken lightly. The homework is done on this.
Whoever your electrical guy is that can't find a short and wiring harness, make sure he's not the same electrical guy that's working on the machine. Because if someone can't find a short, don't give him your electrical guy.
Okay.
In my opinion, that's all.
Steve's not.
You can find it. It's a wire.
No, that's not the problem, or it would be fixed.
I don't know.
Machine at 3,100 hours.
It's not that easy.
And you've got to spend that much money on it?
Seems. What about, do you think that'll fix the transmission?
No, but teach them. It's the knuckleheads that are driving it there.
These loaders are not, are used in gravel pits, sand pits. They're in salt 24/7 in the wintertime. It's not a loader that is being used to push up feed or get feed from cow feed.
Right, I'm just saying, I mean, I know the town's got all this extra COVID money, but it could be used better in other things, maybe than we need two loaders. I mean, I know state, we need two loaders, but.
Two primary loaders.
Whatever.
Well, that's a big difference.
I don't know, it's just 6 1 10 1/2 to the other.
Okay.
Sort of thing, but. That's it, that's all I can say.
We're limited too on what we can spend the COVID money on.
Right.
And we have to keep this machine for 10 years.
No.
No, we're not paying for it with.
With CHIPS money. No, this is COVID.
Oh, that's right, I'm sorry, you're right. I'm thinking of CHIPS money.
Do you think down the road, Gary, it might be wise to look at maybe a steam jenny for up there too, for washing them vehicles off a little better?
That's why that water system's going in.
Is that why it is?
Yes.
Because I know that was
because you couldn't keep one before.
That was a big thing, I mean.
So with the water system going in, we're putting in jet pumps that are like, and milking parlors.
Yep.
High volume water.
Nice.
So we got 4 of those going in. And we're also plumbing in for a steam jenny. We also have that priced out already. So hopefully the JCB loader repairs come in at under 10 grand, because the steam jenny, the cheapest one, we priced out 3 of them. And the cheapest one is $5,100.
That'd be a big improvement up there. I mean,
and that's a commercial steam jenny. That's
especially getting this new loader, spending that much money on it, running it in the salt is the worst thing you can do. But making sure that you bring it in and spray it off when you're done with it. Keeping up on maintenance.
Well, that's the problem we've had up there right along, and the water's bad. I mean, it's just terrible. It ruins everything.
And then the way, you know, I mean, I worked there. I saw, you know, I washed the trucks up. And the setup that they've got over in the back bay behind Chris's truck with the old pump, you know, that was a pain right in the tush. But that's the only way we had to do it. You know, you do what you can with what you got. But yeah, that's going to be a big improvement then.
Yes.
Should help a lot, for sure. Got anything else on that docket that you wanted to?
Just the zoning laws.
Zoning laws, that'd be the next thing.
Oh, insurance. Did we ever get a quote for our town's insurance or anything?
We're still waiting on one.
Okay.
We hasn't come in. I talked to Renee about it this afternoon. We're still waiting on that.
Last thing I have is the zoning laws.
You know, as everybody knows, I don't know if you all know, but we've been doing an update on our zoning bylaws. We finished last month. We have a really good crew. Gary, Karina, Jericho was on the board, Tim, Jason, myself. Did I forget anybody? John Gordon.
Tim.
Oh. Tim Nevert. I did forgot to say the Nevert part, probably. But yeah, we all, I think, had some very animated discussions and came up with some, I think, really good changes. What we'd like to do is adopt those changes. I don't know that we can approve them tonight because Brian hasn't seen them and you haven't seen them.
I read them.
You read them over? We'd like to get them approved so we can get them in a format,
in a draft.
In a draft. So we can, and we want to have this digitally done instead of on the, like a PDF like it is now. So the next ones that end up working on this don't have to go, you know, it's going to be a much easier process to make the changes and such.
So we have several drafts. So the original zoning laws go back to 1997. And then we've had 3 amended dates since then, 2005, 2008, and 2011. And then the current ones that we have right now, 2023. So the only electronic file that we have is from 2008. So we needed to take that 2008 draft, and then we have the 2011 draft, but the 2008 draft only had the 2011 draft in bullet points, so it wasn't incorporated in it. So if I'm kind of talking, like, it was very hard to update it. So we have to have somebody take, is that where you're going with it?
Yeah, I think, yeah. Okay.
So we have to have somebody take and combine those two, the 2008, 2011, and then our 30 pages of
revisions,
put it into one solid document to where it's searchable, electronic form, like it, and that way we have it. So we have that.
Well, we have someone that can do that for us. And that was actually Jerrica Manning, who was on the board with us, and she's very good at it, I think, and she's proposed a price of $500 to put this all in a digital form for us, so that for next time around, and all the and it's also going to make it a lot easier for the end user to go and search for what they're looking for. You know, if they're looking for a certain thing in the zoning laws, right. You know, some right now it is very cumbersome when you go in there and you're trying to find something.
Yeah, even the pricing, she's going to be adding that in there as well too, like the
right, and with this format, that and of course prices, you know, you can change them, but with this, yeah. That can all be changed without almost seamlessly.
Right. Mm-hmm. So how she came up with the prices? She did some research, and there's an average out there from $4 a page to $14 a page. We have 71 pages of documents that need to be done. So that's where she came up with the $500, because I believe it's about $7 a page it works out to be.
Can we just pay her out of the loader money?
Yeah.
We can. Or we can just take it out of the code enforcement officer's salary. Since it is a code enforcement issue, yeah. We have to put that on a budgetary line.
No, it ain't on my papers.
But I would propose we hire her to do that change for us. If anybody wants, if you'd like to make a motion, I don't know if you're interested in that.
I'm not interested in much tonight.
You'll do well later. So I'll make a motion to have Jerrica put all our zoning laws into a draft form. That way you can present it to the board, and we can present it to the Clinton County Planning Board, and ultimately have a what's the word I'm looking for? We have to have a
permissive referendum.
Yeah, we have to actually have a
hearing,
open public hearing.
Yeah, permissive hearing. Referendum.
So there's a lot of steps that we still have to do through it, but we need it in draft form.
Shouldn't that be town secretary's draft?
The town secretary does not have the time to do that. It's she got out of here just before we got here tonight. It's just been. She's got more than she can handle right now without handling this. And the thing is, Jerrica actually has, she's worked with this, so she knows it very well. She's very familiar with it. Whereas even if Renee was to, you know, she's not familiar with a lot of the things we went through. I think it would, personally, I think it's a good fit for her to do it. And really for $500 really is not I don't think it's a huge amount to pay someone to put this in this form.
Because she basically has to retype that document
start to finish, yeah. That's a lot.
That's a lot of time, a lot of formatting, a lot of incorporating, so.
So I really think it's a good deal. I thought she was gonna ask a lot more than that, honestly. Because we asked her if she would give us a price to do that. And I thought that was a very good price.
She's got that as a solid price, like she won't raise it or anything?
She's correct. Committed to it, yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
It's in contract form. But at the secretary's current rate, I think it would take her longer than 15 hours to do this project.
Yeah, but you're talking about just doing a draft to begin with. You're not talking about a finished product, correct? So
Jerrica's going to work it to, so if we create the draft, she's going to bring it to a finished product. Yes. Initially, she's going to create the draft, That way you can go through all the revisions that, you know, through the board, through the town board, the county planning board, the open meeting, the town hearing that we have. Any revisions that have to be done to that draft, Jericho will be doing. And then she will be creating a final draft that's going to be submitted.
That's not town board.
Yep. Yeah, like I said, to me, it's I can't.
Did we make a motion or?
You made the first motion?
Did you make? Motion to have, yes, okay. So we have a motion. Need a second?
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Urban says no.
So you are opposed?
He's opposed.
I was opposed to the last one too. I didn't say it at the bottom.
Which one was that?
Purchase of the equipment.
Oh, the equipment. Purchase of the equipment.
Thank you.
Is that it under new business?
That's it.
Public comment?
The auxiliary will be sending out their garage sale flyer the beginning of May, and was wondering if the town wanted to put something in it. You have until April 15th to come up with something if you want to go in.
No problem. Discuss it and see. I'm sure there's something.
I'm sorry, the 18th.
April 18th?
Yes.
Do you have the Daniel's information from the library?
No, I don't.
Because they would probably want to do something.
Yes, I usually ask Mr. Menard here.
Oh, I do.
Thank you.
They're having a meeting next week, so.
Perfect.
Yeah, Art's out of town right now, too, so.
Yeah, how did this end up being the longest meeting in a year in Art? Art's not here. Come on.
The half hour burned up right there.
Library has done a lot of great things this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but we usually, our letters goes for the town, the beautification, the library, the Democratic Party, the Republican Party. It's just a mailer that goes out to all the town people. Plus our garage sale if they want to get on.
And that's June 18th?
I think it's the 11th and 12th, or 10th and 11th, whatever that weekend is. I think it's the 10th of all, I'm not sure. Find a calendar or something.
Okay, so that's not, so it would be before Father's Day weekend then?
Weekend, yeah.
Okay. Weekend before, so that's the 11th, okay.
So the 10th and 11th?
10th and 11th, yep, okay.
Saturday and Sunday.
We have a ton of people that start calling, so.
Also, I believe the firemen have plans for a tractor pull on the 11th, so that's something out there too.
Okay.
So yeah, I'll touch base with everyone in the office for.
There's a fee that has to go towards our printing, that's all, but it's never, you know, it's like a lot.
Do you want to go through county copy again? That's a good price.
Very.
Anything else? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion.
There he is.
There he is.
I'll second it.
All four?
Aye.
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 Thanks, folks.
Irv.
Town council. Pardon? Your council?
This one.
I'm sorry. Your attorney?
The signing one.
Oh, Matt.